Ephesians chapter 3 verse 14. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. This morning we thank God that we have Reverend Lim Chee Boon, pastor of New Life Bible Presbyterian Church, Singapore, to minister the Word of God to us. Reverend Lim is also the vice chairman of our task force, overseeing the work here in London. And this time round, he, despite of his many appointments and busy schedule in view of Reverend Daniel Koo, who is also one of the pastors in New Life Singapore on sabbatical, and he has to take on the additional work, especially the Chinese ministry back in Singapore. And actually, he is not very well, but we thank God that this morning he is feeling much better with the tender, loving care of our members here, especially our doctor is not around, who tried to administer some medication, and this morning, after much rest, he is feeling much better. So please continue to pray for him as he will continue to minister to us, especially the next Sunday too. Before he brings us God's word, he will lead us in the pastoral prayer. Reverend Lim, please.
Let's pray together. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for who you are and for what you have done, especially for your work of grace in our life. Thank you for sending your dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to die for us on the cross, that we through him can have eternal life. And you have promised us that as many as receive him, to them give it power to become the children of God. Thank you that this morning we can come to you as your children. Lord, you have been merciful to us. In the past, we do not know you, but you commend your love towards us, and you send your Son to die for us so that we can become the children of God. And that this morning we can come boldly into your throne of grace to worship, to praise you, even to enjoy the fellowship with you and with one another. Father, we want to thank you for bringing us into this church. We realize that a church is not a building, but a body of believers, a group of people whom thou hast called out of darkness unto your marvelous light. Thank you, Lord, that we now can walk in the light because we have Jesus Christ, who is the head of the church. Father, we rejoice in what you have done for New Life London, your blessing for the past 12 years or more. Lord, you have kept your people faithful by your power. Lord, we realize that it is not by our own strength. We cannot do anything, Lord, with our own energy, with our own strength, with our own wisdom. We can only say that I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth us. Thank you Lord, that you have preserved your people. Thank you for your servants who you have raised up for the church here. We pray, God, that you will continue to use everyone here. Lord, every member who has a part in the ministry, Lord, of your church, I pray, God, that you will bless them with the joy of serving you, because we realize that it is a privilege to serve the great and the mighty God. Father, we want to pray for the future of New Life London. We know, Lord, that you love your church and that you will not leave your church unattended. As the mother cares for the child, Lord, we know that you care for the church. So, God, we want to pray that you continue to guide New Life London as we enter into the 13th year of our ministry here. Lord, we also realize that you have put us in Queen's Park, not by an accident. You have placed us here so that we can be a witness for you, a lighthouse, Lord, to shine for you in this area. Lord, we are placed in a very strategic place, very close to the tube station, where people walk past every day. Lord, when they walk past this building, we pray that they will be able to sense the presence of God. And we pray for ourselves too, Lord, as we enter into your house, as we leave your house, that people may see Christ in our life. Father, we want to thank you for all your people who are gathered together in this Lord's Day, not only in New Life, but we know that there are many other like-minded Christians who are gathered in other places in worship. Lord, cause our hearts to rejoice in you. We thank you for the supporting churches in Singapore. Thank you for Dr. Toh and his church. Thank you once again also for New Life Singapore. Lord, we love the church here and we know that the people there are praying. So God, we pray that you will hear their prayers. Lord, we want to pray for this great city of London. Lord, have mercy. Lord, in time past, you send your showers of blessing. We see great preachers being raised up, sent to many parts of the world. Lord, we pray that in these last days, that you raise up a testimony for yourself. We pray that, Lord, you will turn the hearts of the people unto you. Lord, let not the people be deceived, be deluded by the world and the devil. Set them free. Let them realize that they need the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we are coming. We are facing the end of the world. Lord, we need you. We, the people of the world, needs salvation. May you be pleased, Lord, to save them. Because you are not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. I pray that you will send salvation to the people. Hear this, our prayer. Lord, this morning as we enter into a time of worship, a time of a meditation of your word, Lord, speak to us. Encourage us. Use your word to strengthen our spiritual life so that we can face the challenges ahead of us. For we pray and ask all this in Jesus' most wonderful name. Amen. A very good morning to you. So glad to be back in New Life London. And we want to welcome all friends who have come to worship with us this morning. Now, I want to bring you greetings and warm regards from New Life Singapore. Before I came, many says, please send our regards. I can't mention every name, but I want to tell you that the people there remembers you and they pray for you. I spoke to Dr. Toh yesterday, and he wants me to read two verses to you. If you can turn your Bible to 1 Thessalonians chapter 3.
1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 12 and 13. Verse 12, "And the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all men, even as we do toward you, to the end he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints." He wants us to know that the Lord is coming back very soon, and we are encouraged to increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all men. We show love in church and towards those who do not know the Lord Jesus Christ. And the result is God will establish our hearts unblameable in holiness before God. Thank God we have this assurance that when the Lord Jesus Christ returns, he will receive us unto himself. Now, Chairman has read Ephesians chapter 3 to us, and there's a verse in verse 20. Paul says that God is able to do exceeding abundantly above that which we ask and think. And that is the theme of my message this morning. But before I enter into the text, I want to bring up several people from the Bible. First of all, we know the man Job. There's a book before Psalms, the book of Job. Right? Job was a righteous man, upright. He's all his life kept his heart right before God and men. But he was a righteous man who suffered many trials in his life. You see, living a righteous life does not spare us from crisis and calamity. Job is a good example. We're told that one day his seven sons and three daughters gathered in the house of their eldest brother to have a feast. While they were having the feast, we're told a strong wind came and smote the four corners of the house. The house collapsed on the young people and they all died. Job lost his children in one event. Then we were told that the Sabians and the Chaldeans came and took away the oxen, sheep, and the asses from him. And then they killed his servants. We say overnight there was nothing left. The Bible tells us that in all this suffering and loss, Job did not sin against God with his lips. He maintained a right attitude towards God. He says that it is God who gives and God has the power to take away. He acknowledged the fact that God is sovereign. He has the right to take things away from him. Now that is not the end of his suffering. We're told that Satan went to see God and asked for permission to continue his assault on Job. God allowed. Now it's interesting. Here we see that Satan asked permission from God. Yes, God is in control of all things. And God allowed. God says that you can attack his body, but you can't do anything to his soul. We were told that there were balls all over the body of Job. I can imagine the tremendous discomfort in his body. The Bible told us that he used potsherd, broken pots, to scrape himself because it itched. He did that for, I think, many days. The wife observed the suffering that he was going through. After some time, the wife just couldn't take it. You know, why are you so patient? You've been suffering. The wife said to him, "Why do thou still keep your integrity? Curse God and die." I think those words must have hurt Job tremendously. Anyone can say anything to him, you know.
but not someone dearest to you and say, curse God and die, you know. Yeah. Forsake him. He has forsaken you. But we see that Job did not forsake his God. He said to his wife, why speak so foolishly? Job was a man true to God. Now, what is the difference between Job and his wife? I see that Job had faith. Job trusted in God. Job is a man who sees God's power. He knows who his God is. He knows that God is able to do things above that which he asks and thinks. Dear brethren, it is very important we know who our God is, so that when we face crisis, we will not give up our faith. Our God is the same when our Christian life is smooth sailing. He is still the same God when you are down in the deepest sea. In the book of Daniel, there were three young men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Three Hebrew youths were probably taken to Babylon when they were very young. They grew up in Babylon, but they had never forsaken the worship of Jehovah. One day, King Nebuchadnezzar built a golden image, 90 feet tall. And he called his servant to go out to his country and proclaim that at the hearing of the sounding of musical instrument, all people, including foreigners living in Babylon, must bow down to that golden image and worship it. The music sounded. The three young men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, did not bow down to the image. This matter was brought to the attention of the king. The king called them and said, I'm going to give you one more chance. Now bow down to this image and you'll be spared from the punishment of not doing it. Now the consequence of not bowing down to the golden image was to be thrown into the burning fiery furnace. You notice that it was burning, it is fiery. In other words, it's going to be of intense heat. Now, were the three young men afraid of the fiery burning furnace? No. Why? Because they knew who their God is. They knew that God is almighty and powerful. So before King Nebuchadnezzar, they say this to the king. He says, O king, let it be known unto you that our God is able to save us. If not, then we are ready to face the consequence of your punishment. This is recorded for us in Daniel chapter 3. Please read it if you, when you return back. Okay? They say, no, we will not worship the golden image. They were thrown into the burning furnace. They did not die. The Bible told us that when the king looked into the furnace, he saw four men, one like unto the Son of Man. You see, Jesus Christ, in his pre-incarnate state, was with the three young men. Now, the question is, why were they so fearless? They were fearless because they know who their God is. Recently, I met up with a church member in New Life Singapore. She suffered from terminal cancer. We used to think that she's a very weak lady. And I went to see her because I want to encourage her. But she said this to me. She says, Pastor, I know God is in control and my life is in His hand. It was a great comfort to me that this lady knows who her God is. We come to the Apostle Paul. Paul wrote the book of Ephesians while in prison. We would expect Paul to be whining and complaining in prison. Right? Prison in those days are in such bad condition, you would say. They are dungeons, actually. Okay? It must be hot, dirty, filthy. Instead of whining and repining, we find in the book of Ephesians, Paul praising God. Now, if you turn to the first chapter of Ephesians, we see that he praised God in the beginning of the book and the end of the book. Let me read to you from chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good measure of His will. And then in verse 6, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He had made us accepted in the Beloved. You see, Paul was praising God. Every time when he remembered the church in Ephesus, he praised God. So he told the church here that we are all saved by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. God has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. All right, we are adopted as children unto God. And rejoice in the fact that we are His children. Now what I want you to see is that Paul has many things to thank God for. Okay. And that the thought or these thoughts of the church brought him great joy and comfort. Such that when he suffered, he did not think of his own suffering. He think of the many goodness of God in his life and what God has done for the church. Now, if you look at chapter 3, we have read chapter 3 from verses 14 to 21 earlier on. I want you to look at the last two verses, 20 and 21. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. You see, herein is Paul's doxology. And I can sense that in this doxology there is the trust and confidence in God, the praise given to God. Paul knew who his God is. And he knows that God is powerful to do exceeding abundantly above that which he asks and thinks. And then in 21, he gives God the glory. Then coming to the end of the chapter, we see that he once again glorified God. Alright? Look at chapter 6. 23 and 24. Peace be to the brethren and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with you all that love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Amen. He was telling the church the peace, that grace that comes from God and the Lord Jesus Christ. In these few verses, Paul gives us his assurance of what God will do in his church. Now, what gives him this assurance that God will always do abundantly above all that we think or ask? You know, sometimes we think our God is so small. Our problems are so big that he could not help us. Now, we should not think that way. Our God is a great and mighty God. He's able to think that God is able to do exceedingly abundantly because there are three things mentioned here. I want you to turn back to the doxology in chapter 3. Look at verse 21. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Okay. First of all, God will do great things for his glory. He says, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus. First of all, I want you to know that God will do great things for his glory. Now, what is God's glory? When we talk about the glory of God, we are talking about the very nature and character of God. Okay. First of all, the glory of God is his goodness. Moses desired to see the glory of God. God has been appearing to Moses, and Moses had the desire to see God's face. But God told Moses that he cannot see his face and live. In Exodus chapter 33, God did tell Moses that I'm going to cause my goodness to pass you, and you shall see my glory. Exodus 33 verse 19. So in that verse, we are seeing that the glory of God is his goodness. Now, what is the goodness that Moses will be experiencing? Of course, it's the deliverance from the Egyptian and finally the entering into the promised land. Now, it's interesting that Exodus chapter 33, 34, the last two chapters, is not something, it's not recorded in events. It's a recollection of what happens in the past or what will happen. Okay? It's actually Moses writing about the time when he was called to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt. You know? Of course, they went out of Egypt in chapter 12, 13. Okay. And coming to the end, it was a recollection of those times when God called him to lead the children of Israel. And when God promised his goodness, he's telling him that he's going to lead them out of Israel, out of Egypt, into the promised land. God's goodness is his glory. You know, God has shown us his goodness every day in our life. We are enjoying his goodness. Today we are able to come to church because of God's goodness. Secondly, the holiness of God is his glory. Holiness is God's very nature. Isaiah has a vision of God's holiness. And we were told that in that vision, he saw heavenly beings, the cherubims. And they were singing, "Holy, holy, holy," praising God. There were great lights. These are all the manifestation of God's glory. God's glory is also his power. We remember the story of the death of Lazarus in John chapter 11. The Lord Jesus Christ came 4 days after Lazarus' death. He was buried. Probably his body decayed. And then Mary said to him, If you have been here, my brother will not have to die. But Jesus said, you will see my power. Now what is that power? It is His glory. God's power to raise the dead to life again. That is God's glory. So God, for His glory, will do great things for the church. Secondly, I want to tell you that God will do great things for the sake of His church. Okay. The church is a body of believers. We are the church. God will do mighty things for the church. We are redeemed by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. God sent His Son to die for the church. And for the church, God will do mighty things. The Lord Jesus says that the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. See, this is the promise. And for His church, He will do great things. Now, I'm sure God will do great things for New Life, London. Our concern for the church is His concern. He will do great things for each one of us because we are His children. We should trust God is able to do exceeding abundantly. Lastly, I want you to know that God will do great things for Jesus Christ's sake. That God loved His Son, and we are told that the Lord Jesus Christ intercede for us and for the church. He will do great things for His Son's sake. Let me just summarize what I've just said. Okay. That God will do great things, firstly, for His own glory. God will not allow His church and His people to be uncared for, to suffer without His knowledge. He cares, so He's able to do great things. Now, He also will do great things for His church, for His church's sake, and thirdly, for Jesus Christ's sake. Please turn your program sheet to the last song that we will be singing later on. The title is, It Is Well With My Soul. Now, I want you to look at the first stanza. It reads, when peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my Lord thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. The refrain says, it is well with my soul, it is well with my soul, it is well with my soul. This song was written by Horatio Spafford sometime in the year 1873. Just 2 years before that, in 1871, there was a great fire in Chicago. It is called the Chicago Fire. It destroyed almost the entire city. Horatio Spafford was an attorney, a lawyer, and he also invests in real estate. The Great Fire destroyed the city, and the result that it also disrupted his career and his business. In 1987, he decided to come over to Europe. On that day of the departure, he had something urgent to attend to. So he sent his wife and 4 daughters ahead. They set sail on the ship. As they were traveling past the Atlantic Ocean, the vessels they were in collided with another vessel. the ship sank pretty fast. And we were told that the four daughters perished in the accident. The wife survived and sent a telegram back to the husband. And she only sent two words. Save alone. When Spafford received this message, he was very, very sad. Okay. He caught the next ship to meet up with the wife. On the way, one evening, the captain of the ship came to him and says, it is somewhere at this location that the ship your wife and daughters were in sunk. That night, Mr. Spafford could not sleep. And then he started to think about his family. And then he also think about God. And God came to him. God comforted him. And then he sat down and then he penned these verses in the hymn. It is well with my soul. Now how come Horatio Spafford could have such confidence in God? Because he knows who his God is. He knows that God is able to do great things. He trusted in God. Dear brothers and sisters, what are we going through in our life? You know, every time when we face a crisis, what is our first thought about our God? I used to talk to people in Singapore, you know, and they say that my problem is so special. I think no man understands my problem. Okay, even God cannot solve my problem. Now, if we think in that manner, then I think we belittle the God that we believe in. Brethren, it is important that we know our God. As much as we talk about the love of God and the power of God, that we should trust that God is powerful. He loves you and therefore He cares enough for you. There's nothing too small in your life that He's not concerned with. There's nothing so little in our life that He doesn't seem to care. It is important that daily we build up this confidence and trust in our God. Now, every time as we look into God's Word, ask God, let us see Him as the mighty God. You know. But let me end with these words, brethren. Yes, God is mighty, God is powerful, but God has His will. God has His own way of solving our problems. Today, there are a group of Christians who knew that God is almighty, and they think that they can manipulate God. You know, they think that they can, in God's name, do anything that they call upon. Now, again, this is wrong. Alright? I was on the internet recently. I was listening to a preacher of a mega church. And this preacher says, oh, if we want prosperity, we just call upon God and God will bless us. And then he was saying in his message that, you know, God is going to bless the city of Singapore and it's going to make every Singaporean rich. Now, I think this is wrong. Okay? God obviously cares and he wants to meet our need. But he's not going to make every Singaporean or every child of God to become a millionaire. If we all become a millionaire, the question is, do we still learn to trust in God? Or do we will trust in our bank account? It is good that sometimes God leads us into some crisis in life. I was wondering why I left Singapore with a flu. I hate to have a flu. Because once I have a flu, it never gets well for a long time, simply because I can't take antibiotics. I need the body resistance, you know, the immunity to be built up to recover. Okay. And I'll be dizzy and I can't concentrate. I think God has His will. I've been struggling, says that I need to depend on God. Okay. There are sometimes that we just can't resolve a problem, or that I don't know whether you come to the state where you are just penniless and you need to trust in God. I remember some years ago, I have a friend serving in the ministry, and he told me that he went somewhere to serve and he did not bring much money with him. And he really spent his last coin in his pocket. He was wondering what to do. See? And then he prayed to God. And then somehow God provided his need. Like that when God provided the need of Elijah by the brood of Kidron. So dear brethren, this is what I want to encourage you this morning. Alright? Trust in God. Know that our God is a powerful God. He will do great and mighty things. First, because of His glory. It's His nature to do great things. Secondly, for His church. We are the church. God wants to bless you. God wants to bless New Life London. Cling hold on Him. And then lastly, for Jesus Christ's sake, because Jesus poured out His life for us. May God bless you with His word this morning. Let's pray. Lord, I want to pray that You will use this simple message spoken out of the weakness of my flesh to the hearts of the hearer. Lord, we know that Your word has great power. And so God, I pray from the writing of the Apostle Paul in Ephesians 3 that You encourage Your people. Lord, to look at our God, how great and mighty He is, how loving, how merciful. Lord, that we will trust in You. So God, I pray that we will cling hold to You and we will not let You go. Lord, You will bless us. So Lord, I pray once again that You will bless New Life London. You know the need of the church. We trust, Lord, that You are able to do exceeding abundantly in this church that You have built in Queen's Park. I commit it into Your loving hand. We ask and pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.